Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on Friday. It's finally Friday. 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me. We'll do our best to interact here on the program. Coming up on the program, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News here in just a moment. We're trying to connect with him. Also on the show today, we'll hear from Catherine Robertson, who is a candidate for the attorney general spot. And then finally, in the 11 o'clock hour, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So we'll make sure that you stay tuned for that. So anyway, that's coming up on the program today. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program, all you do is text me. We'll kick it off here with the program. So what's going on? Have you seen the raccoon ad? Yes, there is an AI generated raccoon that has made its way to, I don't know if they're going to, I guess it's an online only ad, but it's made its way to Lieutenant Governor's race. And apparently at one point, now the raccoon talks about John Wall, and it's John Wall's pet raccoon in the film here. And it's a talking raccoon. Like, keep in mind, this is very, very serious, high-minded, high-stakes office, and we are essentially it's AI-generated slot, but I think it's kind of indicative of just there's like an animosity here. Well, anyway, I digress, but the AI generated raccoon talking, and apparently the raccoon sleeps with John Wall at night. So we had to go see if there was like really a raccoon. And I guess his fiance had a pet raccoon several years ago named Charlie. Charlie the raccoon. It's on my social media, x.com/Jeff_Poor. A little startling. There's that, and I don't know, like, are we just out of ideas here, guys? There's that, and there's just a bunch of other John Wall attack ads. The Lieutenant Governor's race, I guess more substantively, we need to talk about here. So, if you're listening, let's see, what day was he on? I guess it was Wednesday. John Wall comes on this program, starts talking about his, like, policy ideas. And it's like, okay, Big Creek Lake or whatever. And then we get to the state income tax. And we go through the usual, well, this is why it would be good. And there's reasons that it needs to, we had to compete with other states and, you know, the drill. And then I guess he made an ad out of it or something. And it kind of drew the ire of some lawmakers here who put out a letter. Anyway, they put out a letter reminding us that the Lieutenant Governor cannot decrease or cannot raise or lower your taxes. Okay. Well, I guess the question would be, like, what's the point of the Lieutenant Governor's office? And what's any point of policy discussion regarding Lieutenant Governor? Anyway, I got two dozen lawmakers here. A lot of, and here's the thing. You're going to see a lot of state lawmakers back West Allen for Lieutenant Governor because he served in the Alabama legislature with him. So, I don't know, which begs the question, like the whole Lieutenant Governor's race, what do you want out of a Lieutenant Governor? And if they're not talking about lowering taxes or cutting regulations or, you know, the usual conservative tropes, then what's the point here? I mean, I don't know. We're just going to talk about appointments and casting a tie-breaking vote in the state Senate. And then maybe if we're lucky, we'll have a conversation about being governor someday. But we're at that desperation phase, it feels like, in this campaign. The veterans saga, by the way, speaking of fun topics pertaining to the 2026 election cycle, I guess Jared Hudson just finished up a segment about an hour and a half or so ago with Dale Jackson. And it went about as expected. So Jared Hudson and Dale Jackson go round and round about Barry Moore's military service. And they go round and round, and we never get this answer to this question. Does Jared Hudson think that Barry Moore is a veteran? Well, why does that matter? Because they're the ones, all this discussion about the veteran talk and Barry Moore is where it's coming from. Smoke's bulleted from that direction. So you ask, well, do you think he's a veteran? You're a Navy SEAL. You know the military, and you know what's what, and you've seen the evidence. Based on the evidence presented before us, do you think he's a veteran? And we never get an answer to that question, but we're kind of basing on innuendo here. Well, you know, maybe not. And then from the top rope, one of these pro-Hudson packs comes out with an ad that says, Stolen Valor. I know we have a lot of people in this audience listening who have strong opinions about this one way or another. I'm not interested in that. All I want is just do you think he's a veteran or not? You brought it up. So Tucci can't get here soon enough. Who would have thought that here it is? It is June the 12th, 2026. And annoying. But the two candidates left standing in this runoff coming up on Tuesday are Catherine Robertson and Jay Mitchell, the most tolerable ones. But Catherine's going to come up here in just a minute. We had to move Todd around. Had some equipment problems. We'll see what we can do there. But the ones that I find like the least, easiest to talk to, they'll have to go through like some kind of campaign gimmick or something like that and work through it, are those two, the attorney general candidates. We got an ad commissioner race. We'll do something on that on Monday, I suspect. And then everything else will kind of fall into place. And then it's Tuesday night. And then we get to move on to a congressional race, but that has a little more clear path of what direction that's going right now, at least. Some other things, you buying an Iran deal made? Are you feeling good about that? Because it's at the on and again, off again. But let's see, we got oil trading at $86 a barrel. It was down as low as 84. It's continuing to fall. I think it'll get back to where it needs to be once we start seeing some tangible results, but it sounds like Netanyahu's on board with this peace deal. Enough's enough. that no nukes. They made a no nukes pledge. We'll see if that really sticks. And then maybe by July, you'll see a tangible decrease in your gasoline prices. Also, anybody excited about the World Cup? I you know, there wasn't much baseball on last night. Braves got rained out. I tried to watch a little bit of it. I don't know. Half-empty stadium in Mexico, the Czech Republic versus South Korea. I guess it's not quite a Iceland versus Argentina friendly at Jordan-Hare Stadium, but nonetheless, it's underway, and that's dominating a lot of the news right now. Seems to will there be some kind of political statement, or are any American soccer players going to kneel? What you know what soccer needs to do? They gotta be a blaring, blinding contrast to the women's soccer. They just gotta be like the hockey team during the Olympics. It's got to be something along. It's got to be just like Lee Greenwood blaring in the background, pro America, USA, USA, and that's you'll get people on board with that. You already got the like soccer virtue signalers. You get them on board with that, and. Then you get the real, like, I don't know, sort of pro-America, right of center types who are very dismissive of soccer, like me. And then maybe you're cooking with gas there. But throwing that out there, sports ball. Sorry, Leo, it is sports ball, but it's a sort of a break to the silly. It's just straight up silliness right now. We got talking raccoons, and we have at this point in the cycle the Dale Jackson gotcha interview. Used to be you could always count on like a Matt Murphy or Dale Jackson back in the day. Always one of those along the way was going to be a hard to listen to endeavor, and that's what we got today. So here we are. And to my chagrin, talk a little bit about soccer. 251-343-0106. And then the Iran war, I think that's probably top of the list here for the national news. FISA, will they get that done? There's a warrantless surveillance FISA, quote-unquote, tool that's set to expire, and that was supposed to be like a big deal. The FISA renewal and getting ICE and the Border Patrol funded were the two big things that a lot of these candidates, particularly Barry Moore, needed to be in Washington, D.C. to and not out here campaigning on the last weekend of the election cycle, of the runoff cycle, I should say. The election goes on until November 4th. Let's get a break in here. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Curtis Slow was the finest picker to ever play the blues. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you do is text me, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that's on your mind. I'll kick it off here. Randy, Jeff, you sound like Miss the Alabama campaign ads, the new orange hunting vest with the accompanying orange hunting hat. With the barely used shotgun prop on loan from the local gun shop, or the ad where the candidate is showing off their handgun skills at the shooting range. Hey, you know, you're right. We got a little bit of that this cycle, but not a lot. Not like you, not like old Meemaw down at the range there. Man, yeah, KIV with a firearm right now would probably be some kind of a crime, wouldn't it? What are the crime? I mean, like, I don't know. I'm, you know, we obviously are pro Second Amendment here, but can you imagine what that looks like? Squirrel Vereen. See, we got a lot here. The Iranian government acts as terrorists targeting commercial ships and civilians. They cannot be trusted and will always be vengeful. I think yes, but maybe you could bottle it up for a couple of years. If even. And at least like kind of the world get back in line. Squirrel Vereen continues. When I was young, elementary school, when I was put into soccer, I didn't really care for it or anything that took me away from Saturday morning cartoons after school. Youth soccer seemed so common that later by the seventh grade, when we did some of it at PE, I was surprised how the other kids could get past not being able to use their hands. Plus, I remember my first soccer game in first grade. My position was fullback, waiting near the goal to protect it. My football-playing meathead dad didn't understand the sport. It was griping at me to go get in the action. I will never give two craps about sports and jocks. Well, that's fine. I played soccer when I was little, like small. And I didn't really understand it. Trying to get out there and play soccer. It was, you knew you had to get the ball to goal and you knew kind of where your position was on the field, but you didn't understand the purpose of your position. And, you know, I was not among the better ones. I didn't get much playing time. And, you know, when that happens, you lose interest. And I'm talking like third grade soccer, maybe second grade, somewhere in there. And it wasn't good. But we get our children into sports. Now, my wife was she could have played in college at soccer. She could just run, and by the end of the soccer match, she would be the last person standing. Jason writes, good morning, Jeff. I previously voted for Christy McGinnis, but after learning about her cannabis interest on her show, I'll vote Corey Hill. Thanks. Yeah, she has, it's like 2 degrees of separation or something like that, but I don't know. I mean, like I said yesterday, it's legal now. Just because it's legal doesn't make it okay. But it's not as if she is the ad commissioner drug dealer, as I think some have portrayed it. By the way, we got Todd Stacy out at 11. Had to move that. We had a little snafu this morning. Yesterday, I think I was on WKRG and did not set my equipment properly. Just had to do a Zoom call, and then once you do that, I had to move some stuff around. But back to the cannabis thing, you know, if that's the deal breaker, that's fine. I the difference here between the two candidates, there's probably not a lot. Maybe it's a management style. But they've taken the, I mean, it's not as if the ad commissioner is going to have a lot of say in the medical cannabis side of the equation. I remember when this came up and Commissioner Pate, I don't want anything to do with this. My department wants nothing to do with it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Does that matter to you guys? An ad commission candidate with a financial interest in a medical marijuana company. If it, there's really anything to it, let us know on the text line 251-343-0106. More your text on the way. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows that the secret.
back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Who are you voting for? How you feeling about it? You made up your mind. If you're undecided, let me know on that text line, because it's all about the undecideds now, is what I'm told. Probably going to be more a get out the vote ordeal on Tuesday, but I suppose still some of you out there may be in the undecided camp and are planning on voting, but you just haven't had time to make up your mind. If that is such a thing. As I said, still to come on the program about an hour from now, running for Attorney General Catherine Robertson. We heard from her opponent yesterday, Jay Mitchell. Then 11 o'clock hour, we'll have Todd Stacey. We will have Todd Stacey, and we will have State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, as well. Let's keep rolling here. My name is Texter. Do you find it ironic that World Cup soccer is played during Gay Pride Month? We did see some crossover there, didn't we? Didn't like the U.S. team lose, but they had their pride jerseys on? Toothless Bammer. Did you get in on the SpaceX IPO? No, I'm interested in it. You could throw out the book anytime Czech Republic and South Korea meet, writes Toothless Bammer. G from LA, what is the Bay Minette lady who owns the local ice cream shop got arrested for chasing down a customer who left a bad review and berated and threatened him, and then sends me a lanyap link. And then that's, let's see, we got one more here. Just saw Sheriff Paul Birch pull someone over for running a red light on government in McVeigh. Thank you, Sheriff Birch. We need more traffic enforcement. Keep up the great work. I'm going to tell you guys, like, sometimes driving a Mobile, it does feel a little third world. To just ignoring traffic laws, running stop signs, that the consequences be damned, we're just going to go. Not really thinking about traffic laws. It does feel that way sometimes. But, yeah, you're right. Thank you, Sheriff Birch, if indeed that report is accurate. That, it you know, you go into town and I don't know, like, people just running stop signs, are they not worried about the potential for, like, a wreck? Bodily harm? Are they maybe they're on their phone, but it's pretty obvious even if you're on your phone, I think that you need to stop at this stop sign or stop at this red light. It was just, as a culture, the consequences, I feel like people tend to ignore. And maybe in some places more than others. Randy writes, Jeff, you're absolutely correct. These days, they probably loaded Cavi's 38 special with blanks, or her handlers make her keep one live round in her makeup compact. Keep up the great work, because you can never go wrong with God, guns, and politics and sarcastic humor. P.S., we're probably going to miss Cavi when she is out of office. To be honest, like, the thing about Governor Ivy, what will we miss when she leaves? You always hear this, and I was thinking about this the other day. Conservatives don't want a very proactive government. They just don't. The less that the legislature is in session, the better. That we don't like it. Is that true for the governor? She don't want to, you know, new laws and more government programs. But what I think is there's some truth to this, though. than what we do want is, you know, a proactive governor and a proactive legislature rolling back government. I mean, what has KIV brought along to increase the size of government? Just the unchecked education spending, the growth of the ETF. It's going to like come close to doubling under her 10 years. Some of that's not necessarily her fault, because we are at a place where inflation matters, and you have to look at that as a factor here. We touched the government spending. The size of government is maybe not necessarily increasing, but spending is, because the value of the dollar has gone down. But there's been a lot of teacher pay raises and things of that sort, and all these new like initiatives, Literacy Numeracy Act, which maybe has some tangible benefits. School choice, you get it. We're expanding some parts of the education system, but we're not whittling back others. The one, I guess, real stride we're making in that, we are closing some of these DEI-geared offices on some of these university campuses. How about Auburn disbanding its faculty senate? But I guess you'd give them credit for that. They want to know that we give them credit for that, by the way. But what are we going to miss about Cammie when she's out of office? Back to your topic, Randy. I don't know. I don't know. Like, her legacy going to be a prison that doubled in cost? By the way, guys, Cadell Construction in Montgomery. Just a scathing report from the Associated Press about Cadell. Worker abuse and allegations of like just not paying salaries. Making promises and not delivering on them. And just shamelessly. Not paying what they agreed to pay. And as it turns out, Cadell Construction is building at least the one mega prison right now. And it was supposed to be done like years ago in Elmore County. I was just a wee little lad back in the day. Special session. COVID era special session, I think 2021, and they passed they passed a law to build new prisons, and they were going to close down some old ones. And they got the money set aside. We were going to use the gift from the federal government, COVID money, CARES Act. We're going to use that in tandem with a budget surplus, and then they were going to bond the rest. This was a product of a failed option from the governor that she was just going to do it without the consent of the legislature, and they couldn't get funding for it. So she goes with her hat in her hand to the legislature. We got to do this. If we don't do this, the federal government's going to come in, take over our prisons, and it's going to be so expensive. You have to do it this way. We don't have time. Why don't we bid it out? No. Got to go construction management. Little did we know that they would, that they had set aside, and one of the provisions was the ability to increase costs as needed. And they just essentially doubled the price of the prison. Meaning you're only going to get one instead of two. And they're going to have to go back to the legislature for more money, and the legislature will probably give it to them. We'll see what kind of panic, options are on the table, but the problem for Tommy Tuberville is he's going to have to deal with this. But just years of mishandling, and this could have all been finished during the Bentley term. But anyway, Cadell Construction, now in the public eye. after an Associated Press article, or an expose, I should say, about its labor practices. So we had talked about since Travis Johnson was on earlier this week, the pride banners around Mobile downtown. I believe Pastor Johnson said that Mobile's not San Francisco or Los Angeles. Did we avoided this whole debate, and it just so happened to be an election year. And now we're back to square one. We're back in the, why are we doing this again? And I talked to a reporter from WKRG yesterday, but the point I keep making is, okay, we have this Visit Mobile thing, and we know that they get the lodging taxes. With the simple, like, sort of mandate of promoting Mobile as a tourist destination. Very noble cause, I guess. We get more people to come to Mobile, spend money, and next thing you know, we're just getting the economy's better, and, you know, restaurants are serving more customers and tipping more, and everybody's happy. But at what point are we doing this that it's like, we're going to use this, all the mechanics of this to virtue signal that we are like pro pride. We're going to show those homophobic right wingers and their silly little churches that Mobile is a progressive city. We're just going to, and that's the way it comes off to me. Is that the mandate? Are you getting more tourists to Mobile? Like, I sat down with Mayor Stimson maybe a few years ago, and we talked about it. And essentially he said, look, you know, all they want to do is get more tourists here. But we get it. We know that that's an objectionable sort of, you know, line not to cross for a lot of people in the city. It doesn't matter why. That's their belief. We can debate it if you would like, but this is not what people want. And so such as it was, we ended up saying, yeah, you know, and they talked about the LGBTQ liaisons with the human rights campaign that later got let go. It just wasn't, whatever you think of it, was it a necessary function of municipal government to promote these LGBTQ platitudes? Is it, you know, we pay a lot of sales tax, we have a lot of city government, we have a lot of problems in the city that need to be solved, and we're using resources on this. Is that really necessary? We had one city worker text into the program and say, yeah, we were told to put those banners up, and they could have been fixing up So a street light that wasn't working right or needed changed out or something like that. And they put the guy downtown to put up a Happy Pride Month banner. And I think that's where a lot of you draw the objection. You'll see here, damn Yankee. Right, so I heard Sheriff Birch say it himself on Sean Sullivan's Midday Mobile that the Sheriff's Department does not have the traffic division, and traffic is a job of the MPD. Yeah, but they could still do it. They could still pull someone over and write a ticket. Kudos to the MPD arresting the drivers, missing driver's license or insurance. That's a positive step. Jason asked, what consequences? We see today's MPD is holding a clinic to help offenders with warrants avoid arrest. Lunacy. Now, one more here. Mike writes, there's not a single thing about Meemaw that the people of Alabama will miss. Big mules like Alabama Power, Road Pavers, and AEA will, though. Why, AEA is a lot of people in the state, Mike. They'll miss her relative to Tommy Tuberville. Is the system ready for a governor who's going to come in and try to change a bunch of different things all at once? because I you know, we're going from 0 to 60 like that, and it's going to go, and it's going, and there's a lot of people who kind of rely on the status quo. That's how they make their living. This is how we've been doing things. This is how I make a living. And you're going to have a new sheriff in town and just say, we're not doing this anymore. We're not doing this this way. We're not going to repave this road 5 times. We're going to have a different policy approach to the Alabama Department of Transportation, different policy approach to Alabama Department of Corrections, all these contracts, all these mental health contracts, or the way we're going to do veterans. We're going to bring Kent Davis back to the cabinet. You have a lot of people who are going to, like, have their livelihoods cut off, and the system, I think, is going to revolt. Maybe we won't see it, but I suspect behind the scenes, there's going to be, it's going to be some tough conversations. And folks are going to have to deal with that. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
This really be the end to be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Mona, welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning.
She said that all the railroad men.
251-343-0106. Get in here while you can. We got Catherine Robertson running for Attorney General coming up in the 10 o'clock hour and 11 o'clock hour. Todd Stacey delayed. I think he had some taping to do for his TV show. We had to move him around a little. And then, of course, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, who has gotten his part of the silly season election cycle out of the way. Let's see here. Our named texter writes, electing Corey Hill is a major step to help stop those encroachment of the marijuana industry in Alabama government. Seems like you are defending his opponent and minimizing the threat of having someone with a marijuana profit motive in Alabama government. But there's always, I mean, it's a legal thing. I'm not a marijuana guy, but I'm telling you, and you know, I can go either way on this race. I don't think this is it. I don't think that this is what you are going to win that race on. I tell you what, you anti-marijuana people, blowing me up, texting me. I'm going to tell you something. I've never smoked, never really wanted to. No gummies, none of that stuff. But the more you guys, like, blow me up, it's making me want to go shopping for bongs on Amazon. Just out of spite. Look, I get it. We had this already. We had this discussion about this. And the legislature determined that it was going to legalize medical marijuana. So I don't know what to tell you. If it were gambling, that's illegal. You could vote against Christine McInnes because of it if you wish. But it's not the kill shot you think it is. Squirrel Reed, those right-wingers and their silly churches, quote-unquote, but they avoid putting out black Christians not being too fond of perversion and how white liberals like to celebrate frivolous black gay tokens. No pride banners in Pritchard. Left-wingers sure did get past their obsession with Juneteenth quickly. Can't even bring that up in contrast to their quote-unquote pride. Well, here's what I would say. You want to celebrate Pride Month, then please, by all means, it's a free country. No one's saying you can't do that. If you get the right permitting and, you know, something's available, parade, whatever, I just don't care. But when do you want to start using the resources of the city, of the public trust, to promote this? That's where we got to have a discussion, and that's why I think it becomes something that is worthy of criticism. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.